Today's podcast is brought to you by NewZest, a clean, lean protein powder voted top 10 vegan protein by Health Magazine.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, number 54, How to Read a Food Label in Understanding Nutrition Information. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I am the founder of Ordinary Vegan, the website and this podcast. Since 2011, I have dedicated my life to sharing plant-based nutrition information and recipes to help people live a long and healthy life. It has been a very busy few weeks for me. Last month, I went to Expo West, which is the world's largest natural, organic, and health products event, and I discovered many new exciting plant-based products, which I plan to share in some of my upcoming podcasts. One of the best things about the Expo are the plant-based food booths. It gives me the opportunity to taste the latest and greatest foods hitting the vegan food market. One of the booths I visited was the Impossible Foods booth. Impossible Foods is a company that develops plant-based substitutes for meat and dairy products. The company researches animal products at the molecular level, then selects specific proteins and nutrients from plants to recreate the experience of meats and dairy products. I'm sure you have seen Impossible Burgers showing up on lots of menus, and people seem to really like them in addition to the Beyond Burger. At any rate, they were giving out free vegan meatballs. But they were stuffing the meatballs with cheese made from cow's milk. It was really disappointing to find out that news because they were billing the meatballs as vegan and not mentioning the cow's milk cheese inside the meatballs. I am so shocked by the disconnect. Why promote plant-based meatballs as vegan and stuff them with non-vegan cheese? So, a fellow called the Vegan Zombie did a video about it. When he questioned the chef and employees of Impossible Foods on the floor of Expo West, everyone had a different story about the cheese. I can't imagine how a company can give out food to thousands of people and not tell them they're giving them a possible allergen like cow's milk. Even if you're not vegan, it should be unsettling because a dairy allergy is one of the most common allergies around. This is a further reminder to me and hopefully to you guys that you can't take anything for granted if you're trying to eat entirely plant-based. You must ask a lot of questions. For example, Burger King just announced they are launching a plant-based Impossible Whopper, but it will have non-vegan mayonnaise, and it still hasn't been established if they're cooking the vegan burgers separate from the meat. By the way, don't get me wrong, I think it is great news that establishments like Burger King are rolling out plant-based burgers and Impossible Foods are creating plant-based substitutes and making it possible for meat eaters to have plant-based options. As I have said before, every plant-based meal we consume contributes to our health, protects the environment, and lowers the demand for consumption of animal products. I also know many of you don't want to go to fast food chains that cook a lot of meat for your vegan food, and that is totally up to you. But at the end of the day, it is such great news how plant-based food is developing at the mainstream level, and I am thrilled about it. Another bit of news I want to mention today is that Another U.S. federal jury ruled last week that Bayer, who owns Monsanto, must pay more than $80 million in damages to 70-year-old Edwin Hardeman, who developed cancer after using the glyphosate-containing weed killer Roundup to control poison oak, weeds, and overgrowth on his Sonoma property for years. The jury resoundingly held Monsanto responsible for Mr. Hardeman's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma based on evidence that Monsanto concealed the effects of the toxic chemical glyphosate for years. There are now more than 11,200 Roundup trials pending in the United States. Always remember, over 80% of genetically modified crops grown worldwide, that's GMO crops, are engineered to tolerate the herbicide glyphosate. So the less GMO foods you eat, the better. Always look for the non-GMO label. Now, speaking of labels, let's talk about how to read food labels. I have been wanting to talk about navigating food labels for a long time, but just hadn't got around to it. In my last podcast, number 53, many people were surprised to hear how much sugar toddlers consumed, mainly because parents aren't aware of how much sugar they are getting in everyday foods. So today, let's break it down and head over to the nutrition facts label and the ingredients list. I will focus on nutrition facts that will affect how you should look at ingredients list. You might even want to grab something from your pantry and look at the label during this podcast. The nutrition facts label is all white and black letters here in the United States. The EU, also known as the European label, for our friends overseas, is similar, with the largest discrepancy being that all calorie listings are based on 100 grams. So it's portions versus grams. But I think this information will be helpful to all our listeners all over the world, because most food labels contain similar information that conforms to their government regulations. So at the top of the U.S. label, you will find the FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration's definition of a serving of that food or drink, and the number of servings in the container. The rest of the nutrition information on the label is for one serving, not for the whole package or bottle. So if a can or a package holds two servings and you eat the whole thing, you have eaten double all the numbers on the nutrition facts label, twice the calories, twice the fat, twice the sodium, and so on. For example, a small container of yogurt might say servings per container 2. And if you are eating the entire container of yogurt, like most people do, this is kind of deceptive, because many times you eat a small container of food and don't realize the serving per container is actually 2 instead of 1. Next, you see the daily value, DV, which is how much of each nutrient most people need each day. The percentage DV says what part, as a percent, of the total daily recommendation for a nutrient is in a serving. The daily value is based on eating 2,000 calories per day. If a food has 5% of the daily value or less of a nutrient, let's say like vitamin D or calcium or iron, it is low in that nutrient. If it has 20% or more, it is high in that nutrient. The nutrition facts are broken down to amounts that reflect, once again, per serving, as in one serving. The first information on the list is calories. But before we navigate calories, I would like to thank and share my latest discovery called Clean Lean Protein from NewZest. That is NUZEST. A delicious, high-protein, low-calorie vegan protein powder. You guys are always asking me about protein powders, and when I tried NewZest Clean Lean Smooth Vanilla Protein Powder, the first thing I noticed was the great taste. But the second thing I noticed was that it only contained three ingredients: pea protein, vanilla, and a sweetener called thaumatin, which is made from the cadamif fruit. So no stevia, no GMOs, no added ingredients like rice, just 100% European golden pea protein. No wonder Clean Lean Protein was voted top 10 vegan proteins by Health Magazine. So, NewZest is kindly offering our healthy community a starter pack with four flavors, including my favorite, smooth vanilla, wild strawberry, rich chocolate, and real coffee for just $9.99 plus free shipping. To order your Clean Lean Protein starter pack, go to newzest.us/OV today. That is NUZEST.us/OV. There will be a link in this week's show notes. Now, let's talk about calories on the Nutrition Facts label. Calories is the first thing on the list, including the amount of calories from fat. A calorie is a unit of energy. In nutrition, calories refer to the energy people get from the food and drink they consume. According to Mayo Clinic, 3,500 calories equal about 1 pound of fat. So it's estimated that you need to burn about 3,500 calories to lose 1 pound, which is why people cut calories for weight loss. So in general, if you cut about 500 calories a day from your diet, you'd lose about 1 to 2 pounds a week. So calories is the first thing on the list, including the amount of calories from fat. As we have talked about in previous podcasts, fat has more than twice as many calories per gram as carbohydrates and protein. For example, a gram of fat has about 9 calories, while a gram of carbohydrate or protein has about 4 calories. So for example, if the calories are 270 and the calories from fat are 25, then approximately 10% of your calories are from fat per serving. Based on my research, I recommend that fat should always be 20% or less of calories per serving. You can figure this out by dividing the number of calories of fat by the number of calories per serving, or determine the number of total fat grams and multiply the grams of total fat by 9. For example, if a label says 300 calories and there are 10 grams of fat, multiply the grams of fat by 9. That means 90 calories of the total caloric intake is fat, which is over 30%. Hope that makes sense. Next, the nutrition facts are broken down by fat percentages. Total fat, like saturated fat and trans fat. Once again, fat should be 20% or lower of calories per serving. The American Heart Association recommends aiming for 5 to 6% of your calories from saturated fat. For example, if you eat 2,000 calories a day, no more than 120 of them should come from saturated fat, which is 13 grams of saturated fat per day. The majority of saturated fat comes mainly from animal sources like meat and dairy. But if you eat processed vegan foods like energy bars, often you could be consuming a lot of plant-based saturated fat. Foods with plant-based oils such as palm oil and coconut oil contain primarily saturated fats, but not cholesterol, which makes them healthier. But
According to some of our leading plant-based doctors, plant oils also need to be eaten in moderation. In other words, you don't want an energy bar with 5 grams of saturated fat, even from plant-based oils. It is laden with palm oil or coconut oil, and too much of any kind of oil, in my opinion, based on research, is not a good thing. So beware of energy bars with high saturated fat. And never ever consume anything that has any trans fat percentage. That should always be zero. Trans fat is an unhealthy substance that is made through a chemical process and found in an abundance in fried foods, donuts, processed foods, and fast foods, to name a few. The next category is cholesterol. On a healthy plant-based diet, the cholesterol should always be zero. There is no cholesterol in plants, only in animal protein. Next is sodium. The rule of thumb for sodium is that the sodium milligram number should be the same number as calories, a 1-to-1 ratio or less. For example, if the amount of calories per serving is 220, then the sodium gram should be 220 or less. If the calories are 220 and the sodium is 500, there is too much sodium per calories. For each 1,000 milligrams of sodium exerted by the kidneys, about 50 to 60 milligrams of calcium goes with it. So if you're worried about calcium and calcium loss, I would cut out adding any salt to your diet. Most people eat too much salt anyways. High levels of dietary sodium are associated with raised blood pressure and has been contributing to coronary heart disease. And according to the National Institutes of Health, a very modest decrease in the amount of salt can have dramatic health benefits. To help lower blood pressure, experts recommend that people consume fewer than 2,400 milligrams of sodium a day, which is approximately the amount found in a teaspoon of salt. People with high blood pressure should aim for 1,500 milligrams or no added salt at all. Here in the U.S., 1 out of 3 adults have high blood pressure, which is an astounding statistic. And children are seeing a rise in high blood pressure too, because about 90% of U.S. children ages 6 to 18 years old eat too much sodium daily. For example, yesterday, one of our little guys, age 8, showed me a nacho cheese Doritos bag he had just eaten to tease me because he knows I don't like anyone consuming unhealthy food. I don't want to get on my Doritos and Cheetos rant, but those are some of the worst foods you can give a child. And here is why. Cheetos and similar products contain high amounts of sodium. It is a salt bomb. They also add cheap, artificial food coloring and artificial flavors. Companies add artificial flavors to make them taste better. They are created in a laboratory, and the formulations are guarded as trade secrets, so God only knows what's going into this product. These kind of products also contain monosodium glutamate, also known as MSG. MSG is a flavor enhancer commonly added to food for an umami flavor. The FDA here in the United States has received so many reports of adverse reactions to foods containing MSG that they made a law requiring food products to include MSG on their food labels. According to the Mayo Clinic, MSG symptoms can include headaches, flushing, sweating, facial pressure, numbness, tingling, or burning in the face or neck, and even heart palpitations, chest pain, nausea, and weakness. Even though these may be short-term symptoms, do you really want to feed your child MSG? Cheetos and Doritos and foods in that category are also highly processed. And when you look at the list of ingredients that are used to increase the shelf life, you'll discover a lot of new words you have never heard of. The first ingredient on a Doritos list is corn, but it's actually GMO corn. And as we all know, GMOs have been linked to increased allergies and inflammation, as well as digestive disorders, to just name a few. Last but not least, these kind of junk foods can contain ingredients that can be addictive. Please listen to one of my most popular podcasts, number 23, with Dr. Neil Barnard, to learn more about additives that are addictive. So it is crucial that children are protected from processed foods like Cheetos and Doritos. And I know what some of you are saying, one bag isn't going to kill someone. But I want to quote Dr. John McDougall, one of the leading plant-based doctors in the world. I am paraphrasing, but Dr. McDougall says that ingredients like fat, cholesterol, artificial flavorings, MSG, etc., found in processed foods, are poisoning nearly everyone. He goes on to say that most people can't fathom this because it takes four or more decades of consumption before disability, disfigurement, and death become common from these toxins. This long period of time fools the public into thinking there is no harm done by choosing unhealthy foods. If the symptoms of eating these foods were instantaneous, like one bag of unhealthy food or animal protein caused excruciating chest pains or paralysis, then people wouldn't eat it. Or if a stroke followed immediately after having a prime rib dinner, or a cancerous lump appeared within a week of a grilled cheese sandwich, then eating unhealthy processed or animal foods would be widely recognized as an exceedingly unwise choice. In other words, you can't just look at the now. Everything you put in your body affects you long term. It doesn't go away. And when you start your children eating unhealthy food, they will continue it for a lifetime and possibly be saddled with common chronic diseases. Not to mention that unhealthy ingredients can also create inflammation, which can cause a range of illnesses like migraines, asthma, diabetes, and even mental illness. If your child needs a snack, please look for a snack label that's high in nutritional value, in protein, in vitamins, and minerals, but low in total fat, saturated fat, sugar, and sodium, and never any trans fat. The best snacks are whole fruits. Now, let's get to the next nutrition fact on a food label: total carbohydrates. To understand carbohydrates, you need to look at the ingredient list. It should have no refined carbohydrates, which is signified by words like enriched or white. For example, enriched wheat flour and enriched bleach flour. Look instead for whole grains in the ingredients list, signified by words like whole, rolled, stone ground, or cracked, whole grain flour, rolled oats, ground stone wheat flour, wheat berries, bulgur, or cracked wheat. Those are all acceptable. The next nutrition fact is dietary fiber. As many of you know, we love dietary fiber. Dietary fiber is crucial to keep things moving, but we want naturally occurring fibers that are in plants, not isolated fibers such as chicory root, which are extracted and added to processed foods. Some critics argue that the FDA here in the United States should not allow these added or synthetic fibers to count as fiber on nutrition labels. But they are, so don't be fooled by the fiber count in processed food. Get your fiber from naturally rich fiber foods such as fruits, vegetables, beans, and whole grains. Next up is sugars. Please listen to my last podcast, number 53, What is Sugar and Which Sugars Are Healthy? Because sugar on a label can be so confusing. In a nutshell, always avoid any added sugars among the first 3 to 5 ingredients on a label, like high fructose corn syrup, fructose, sucrose, evaporated cane juice, honey, molasses, and agave. Next on the Nutrition Facts label is protein. This number tells you how much protein you get from a single serving of the food. As we have spoke about before, our body needs protein to build and repair essential parts of the body, such as muscles, blood, and organs. Protein is measured in grams on a food label, but doesn't contain a daily nutritional value, a percentage. And if all the protein is plant-based, it's all good. Other things to watch out for on the ingredients list is oil. I recommend no added oil, especially oxidized palm oils, animal saturated fats like butter, cheese, lard, or partially hydrogenated fats like margarine or shortening. And my general tip, which will come as no surprise to you, is that the most healthful foods you can consume are whole foods. Fill your plate with plenty of vegetables, starchy vegetables, fruits, legumes, and avoid highly processed foods and give preference to minimally processed foods that follow the guidelines we spoke about. The good news is that I created an infographic with all this information that you can print and hang on your refrigerator. I will put a link to that infographic in this week's show notes. I would like to thank today's sponsor, NewsZest, for supporting the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. I want to thank all of you for listening. Please follow me on Instagram at Ordinary Vegan, and please join our community on Facebook, over 310,000 strong. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. Also, please subscribe and share my podcast, because together we can spread the compassion. I am devoted to keeping you healthy, and as many of you know, I began creating my own line of vegan CBD oil made from hemp to assist you. My organic CBD oil is a naturally occurring compound found in the flowers of the hemp plant, a plant with a rich history as medicine going back thousands of years. I chose to provide CBD oil to our community because I wanted to make sure you received the safest and most reliable CBD oil on the market. Just go to ordinaryvegan.net/shop to order. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.